Tonight, I just want to, it's a short talk, obviously, because it's quarter after seven already. I want to talk about, it's a theme that it's I'm going to talk about. The theme is Chosen. And at this point, it's probably going to be a theme we're going to be in for the next two or three months, because after I researched for today, I was like, I really like this. I like this idea of being chosen, and there's a book in the Bible that highlights this theme, and that's the book of 1 Peter. And I don't know if you know anything about 1 Peter. It's one of those books that you've probably heard a few verses from that are famous. But other than that, you probably don't know what's in it. Because it's not preached very often. And there's some funky stuff in it. That should be fun. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to see what Peter has to say to, I think it's about five different churches that he sent this letter to. It might have been more churches, actually five different areas that he sent this letter to. So before we get started, who can tell me about Peter? Like, what do you guys know about Peter? The person. Good delineation. He's a human, yeah? Step one, first thing. He's human. Who is Peter? A disciple of Jesus, yes. Anything else? Do we know about Peter? How about his character?
He was a fisher of men.
He became a fisher of men, right? He is a fisherman. Fisherman. He died. Yes, he did die. Okay, so that's not in the Bible, but church history does teach us that Peter was crucified. I don't know if it's myth or true, but it is said that he asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. Could be, could not be. I don't know. Yeah, your head would hit the ground, I would think, but I don't know. But that, it'd just be the opposite. Then the feet would pull instead of, like, you're supposed to push up on your feet. So you'd have to push up on your arms. You'd die quicker, I would think, way quicker. But so who knows if it's true or not. So, in fact, we don't even know for sure if Peter was crucified. We do know that in the book of John that Jesus seems to allude to something like crucifixion, where he says, Peter, someday you'll be taken to somewhere you don't want to go, be led away, just like Jesus was. And so there is that possibility from Jesus giving us that. So, yeah, so Peter died. He was definitely martyred. You guys know what martyr means? Anybody doesn't? Okay, so just in case. Yeah, okay. A martyr is someone who dies for their faith. Okay, so that's the simplest way to think about it. So that was Peter. Anything else about Peter, you guys? Peter walked on water. Yeah, we talked about that on Sunday a little bit. Peter actually got out of the boat when Jesus was walking on water. Peter got out of the boat, and he's like, can I do this? And Jesus calls him out, so he takes a few steps in the water. He's like, I'm walking on water, and he stops looking at Jesus, and he goes like, I'm walking on water. Down he goes, and Jesus pulls him back up. Yeah, so he actually took a few steps. Pretty cool, hey? He denied Christ three times, probably. That would suck? Your most famous moment is denying Jesus three times? He was the oldest disciple, yeah. He was probably the only one that was married at the time. I don't know that for sure, but it's most likely he did have a mother-in-law, so we know he was married. We know that the other disciples were younger than him. So, and he would have been probably about 25-ish. Anything else? What else do you guys know about Peter? Yeah, Jesus called him the rock. There's some other interpretations of the text. So, but yeah, there is a moment where Jesus said, "Your name is Peter, which means rock, because he changed it from Simon to rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." Well, we don't know for sure if Jesus was talking about Peter being the rock, but anyway, yes. Anything else you know about Peter? So one of the other famous things that Jesus did to Peter was call him Satan. Do you guys know that? So Jesus is, he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, all these other people, this is who they say I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, you're the Christ. You're the one we've been waiting for. And then in the very next few verses, when Jesus tells him, well, I'm going to suffer and die, Peter's like, stop that. Don't talk like that. You're not going to do that. And Peter, and Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. So he rebukes Peter, so because Peter was trying to tell Jesus, who's God, what to do. Probably not the best thing, or what he shouldn't do. Anything else about Peter? What? Ah, very, very slightly impulsive. Very impulsive. Yeah, he's the guy that always put his foot in his mouth. He said stupid stuff, right? And so one of the funny stories of him doing that, not knowing what to say and just blurting stuff out, is they're on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. And that means God actually shows up in a cloud, and this light comes before Jesus, and he just lights up. Jesus lights up. It's just like bright, shining light coming, emanating out of him. And it's this, it's called the Transfiguration. And so Peter's freaked out, doesn't know what to do, and starts talking about building tents for everybody on the mountain. And it says he didn't know what else to say. And Jesus didn't even respond to it, which is the funny part. Like, usually Jesus will respond, or it's, you know, it's okay or whatever, but doesn't even address Peter's question. It just said he said it because he was scared and didn't know what to say. Yeah, and so lots of impulsive decisions, right, from Peter. Anything else, Peter? Do you guys know about Peter? He was the leader of the disciples. Do you guys know that? So Peter was the leader. So if you come from Catholic tradition, the Catholics believe that Peter was the first pope. I don't believe that, but if you come from Catholic tradition, you might have been taught that. The Bible doesn't teach that, so who knows? Probably not in the line of popes that we would think about a pope today. Anyway, let's go around that. Anything else about Peter? You guys know that you can... That's the kind of guy Peter is, right? But Peter was also really brave, right? Even though at times he was cowardly, he's just brave. He's just like, no one's going to take you, Jesus. And he's the guy that drew the sword when the soldiers came in the garden and chopped the ear off the servant of the high priest. And so the servant probably would have been like the policeman, servants of the high priest. So, and Jesus heals the guy's ear, which would have been like, that just blows me away, right? That after that, you have to arrest Jesus now, that after your buddy who's like laying on the ground going, ah, his blood all over the place, ear, and Jesus just picks his ear back up, puts it back on, you know, dusts it off probably and puts it on. And then you'd be like, oh, now we have to arrest this dude. That's crazy. So that's Peter. And so one of the things that happened to Peter, so when you read about Peter in the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find this very brash, impulsive, like puts his foot in his mouth constantly. Peter's one of the guys that makes me feel like I could be a Christian, right? And like, oh, Peter is like the leader of the disciples is like this, then there's hope for me. So that's one of the things that Peter does for me. And I think he does it for all of us. And so it's really cool that the transformation in Peter is amazing. And so, guess in Acts chapter 2, so it's the very first thing that happens with the disciples after Jesus is gone, is that it says the Holy Spirit comes down upon them and fills them with the Spirit. Peter is the first one to go out and preach. And it says that 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus and get baptized when Peter spoke. Like, this is Peter, right? I'm like, oh, wow, cool. And then there's this really cool story in Acts chapter 4 where Peter and John are just walking and this guy's like begging for money. And they're just kind of like, okay, this is like a paraphrase. They're like looking in their pockets. They're like, I ain't got no money, dude. And the beggar's still begging. And so they're like, well, we don't have any money, but we'll give you what we have in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And what happens? He's healed. Just like that. Bang. So that's Peter. So they actually get arrested for this. They take them in front of the religious dudes. It was called the Sanhedrin. Take them in front of the religious dudes, and they're grilling them. Like, how did you do this? Like, what sort of magic is going on here? And they're like, well, we did it in Jesus' name. And then they're like, they're just kind of confused, going like, how do these men, didn't we do away with that guy? Right? And it's just like, and here's one of the things that it says in Acts chapter 4 that's really cool, that they took note that these were ordinary men who had spent time with Jesus. It's like, whoa, cool. Spending time with Jesus makes a difference. Like, that's the difference that they saw. They were ordinary, unschooled men, but took note that they had spent time with Jesus. Like, that stuck out. So it's really cool. So that's Peter. And then we have Peter actually penning one of or two of these letters in the Bible. And so that's who Peter is. Just a little overview of the Bible, which we will listen to next week or in 2 weeks. We're going to do the Bible Project overview for the book of 1 Peter. We're going to listen to that. But just kind of our overview for us. So here's kind of the couple of the big themes that we're going to explore. And I think that is really important for us during this time. Hope. So I know there's lots of fear in lots of you guys about the world and what's going to happen. You're worried about stuff, right? It's just crazy. You can't even like read the news every morning. You're like, what? Are you kidding me? Now they're shooting missiles and this, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And you're like, ah. It isn't nuts. The world is just going nuts. And so to have hope, I think, is really important. First Peter, that's one of the reasons that Peter wrote the letter to these churches, is because they desperately needed hope because they were getting persecuted. You guys know what persecuted means? Like, people were hurting them and killing them because they loved Jesus, and so they were persecuting them. And so that's one of the big themes. The other one, a big theme that we find in Peter, is this one that we're just going to talk about really briefly now. It's chosen. Peter is very clear in his letter who he is writing to, and the fact that there are certain people that God has specifically chosen. And it's really neat because he uses the language and a number of different ways. Today, I just want to read the first couple verses of this letter. It's the greeting, and just listen to how he greets the people and the language he uses and how he uses the word chosen. To God's chosen people, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Okay, so these five different areas. So it's all the, and when it says, what did it say? Exiles? That means it's the people that are not in Jerusalem. They're not in Israel. They're out in these other places. And so these are Christians, and they're living out on their own and in these difficult areas. And he says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Who knows what foreknowledge is? Anybody? Foreknowledge. What does foreknowledge mean? Okay. So something that God knows before it happens, right? So he has this, foreknowledge is something that God knows, even though it hasn't happened, he knows that that's what the fore is for. It's fore is for. It's before, right? So he knows it's going to happen. He has this knowledge and understanding. And he says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. You guys know, you know what? I should have used the NLT, I think. Because, that's the verse, I just grabbed this Bible from habit, actually, off my desk, because we haven't been, what's that? No, that's okay. We'll just have to explain. We'll have to explain the terms. So when you hear the word sanctify, this is what it means. Sanctify, if you sanctify something, you make it clean. Okay? When we use it in Christian lingo, the Bible, what it means is the process by which God is making you more and more like Jesus. So that's the best way to understand it. So it has, yes, he's made you clean, he's made you holy, and holy is one of the other themes that's in this book. We're going to talk about it. Because you've been chosen, you're holy. But that's all that sanctify. When you hear that word in church, sanctify, it means being made more like Jesus. Okay? So this sanctifying work is being made more like Jesus. To be obedient, so this is why God is doing this in you. This is what's going to happen. To be obedient to Jesus and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So the reason we use the NLT, the New Living Translation, is it uses easier language. It may not be as accurate as a translation, but it's easier to understand for us. That's why we teach from it for youth. So anyway, and you see why, right? You guys are going like, what did we just talk about? Can I read this again now that you know the definitions? Okay, what does sanctifying mean? Come on, we just went through it. Becoming more like Jesus. Sweet. Foreknowledge. Knowledge of the future. There we go. Charlie was on it. You had it, buddy. And what's an exile?
When you're
not in Jerusalem. Or not where you're. Yes, an exile is someone who's living away from their home, right? That's the best way to go. Okay, so now we got those. Let's go again. To God's. And we're gonna use this word, actually, because I'm still thinking about my previous word. It's not chosen in this one. It's elect. So what is elect?
Justin
Trudeau? Donald Trump. They were elected. So, okay, let's do the political thing. What happened? How is that? Like, the elected. Okay. Selected. There you go. Excellent. They were selected, and in our form of government, the election, right, was a whole bunch of people saying they wanted someone else, but enough to get them in. Anyway, let's keep going. In our system, that's the way it goes. To God's elect, okay, let's read it now. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Okay, so God has already decided. He's chosen you through his foreknowledge, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Christ Jesus and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So this is really kind of a cool greeting. This is how Paul opens up his greetings quite often in his letters. And so I'm thinking this is something that's quite cultural to do, where you just, not just cultural, but Christian culture, because they're talking about grace and peace, which is themes in every single writing of the New Testament. Grace and peace is one of those, or two of those, major themes throughout the New Testament, right? And so this is who he's writing to. So I want you guys to think about this. I think this is a really interesting concept, that God is way bigger than we think he is. In fact, he's bigger than we could ever think he is, because our brains are pretty small. You could say, some of you might be thinking, well, speak for yourself. Right? Your brain's small too. It's okay. But our brains, because they can only think so much, we can only have so much information, we can only see what's right in front of us, we don't have foreknowledge, right? That I think it's really hard for us to understand and grasp how big and how awesome and how much God actually knows. So as much as we try to understand how much God knows and how big he is, we can't grasp it. He's bigger than that. So you can play the bigger than that game. You can be starting thinking about, oh, what's bigger than that? Like, bigger than that. Like, and God is always bigger than that. Whatever you can imagine God to be, he's bigger than that. I don't know if you played that game, but anyway. And so when we think about being chosen, I want us to think about this, that it's not a mistake that you were born in Cold Lake or wherever you were born, that you are here right now. Like, this isn't just mistakes. This isn't just chance, right? You may think you just came to youth for whatever reason. It wasn't because you wanted to know Jesus. Yeah, big deal. You know, God's bigger than that, right? He can use our little whatever we're doing, and he can get us here when he wants us to be here. When he draws you to himself, that's what he does. And so he's a big God, and he knew where you would grow up. If you want to check this out, this is Acts 17, that God actually decided where you would live, where you would grow up. That means he decided who would influence you, what kind of culture that you would be in, and how you'd be influenced by that culture. He knew all of those things. And so where you are right now, you're sitting right in here and you're listening or maybe even partly paying attention. God has decided that. He, in his foreknowledge and his desire to be in relationship with you, he has drawn you to himself. And for most of you, like I'm not assuming all of you are Christians, but for most of you, and if you are a Christian, this is who Peter is talking to. This is, letter is addressed to you, that you are a chosen one, that God chose you. And sometimes that's hard to believe, why God would choose us, why he would give us a chance, and you know, someone else is not, like a baby. Like I think of, I have a morbid way of thinking, but I think about this all the time, and I've prayed about it. I'm like, God, why me? Why do I get to grow up in a Christian home, with a mom and dad who taught me about Jesus and taught me about how important it was to live my life for him and how important it was to go to church and to worship with God's people and all of these major values that were given to me. I didn't make them up. They were like given to me. And that's because God did that. And I think of the babies that are born to like drug dealers and people in the streets, and I'm like, well, why did that baby have to go there? Why do I get to know who Jesus is and that baby hardly has a chance to survive? Like, those are hard questions, don't you think? Have you guys ever thought about that? But one of the problems that we often have is we think of the chosen thing on the negative side of things. We forget about God's great love in choosing us. And we look at over here and go like, oh man, like, seriously? And we forget that God has actually chosen you. He gave you the chance to know him. And that's one of the things that you can do here. And so we're going to explore this whole idea of chosen for the next couple of months. We're going to go through 1 Peter. There's some cool stuff in here. There's some famous stuff in here, like the roaring lion thing. That comes from, like, Satan is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That comes from 1 Peter. Right, huh? So there's some famous stuff that you guys will go like, hey, I've heard that before. There's also some really obscure stuff that you guys would be like, what? What did he just say? Yeah, we'll get to those. And there's even some stuff on husband and wives. And so you might be going like, what? We're going to do that at youth? I'm like, yeah, why not? All right, let's explore it. What does God think? Some days, well, like what, 90-some percent of people get married? So most of you guys will probably get married. That's a made-up stat, by the way. It's not a real stat. Yeah, so it's not true. It's a media-generated stat that doesn't actually have a statistic attached to it. So, but anyway, it's not good. Whichever way you look at it, right? There's too many divorces. There's too many, well, not too many divorces. You know what? There's too many broken families. There's too much of it, and it sucks because kids always get the brunt of it. So anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, so here's what I wanted you guys to do for your small groups. There's just three questions to go through about being chosen, and then you guys, what I'd really like you guys to think about and talk about in your groups is what you would like to hear up here, because this series is going to last for a couple of months, and then we're going to have at least probably three, maybe four talks where we can hit the topics that you guys would like to hear done at Ignite. And so, I'm going to pick the top, each group will have top three, and then we'll probably pick the top three of all of those, and we'll do that. So I think that'll be fun, I think that'll be cool, and we'll hit those topics. And we'll also probably do a text in your question night too, because you guys love that. There were so many questions this last time, you guys. How many questions was left over, like 100? No, not that many. What's that? Well, there's just lots of questions, right? They didn't even get to them all, so. I'm just answering the questions that are on the screen behind me, man. Okay, let me pray for you guys, and we'll go to our small group. Heavenly Father, thank you for Ignite. Thank you for the first time we get together in the 20s. And Lord, I just thank you for these amazing teenagers, and I just pray that your spirit would be with them and you would watch over them, protect them. Lord, draw them to yourself. And as we explore these themes of hope and being chosen and like all these different themes that come out of 1 Peter. Lord, I pray that you just draw us into who you are. You'd help us to get to know you better and help us to love you more through this series. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.